Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort. Well, Jim, another outstanding performance from the Timberwolves. Not quite as dominant as Game 1, but I guess it's hard to expect that. The Suns made some adjustments, and the Timberwolves were able to deal with that and still put up their points.
Really fascinating to see them dominate a good opponent with Anthony Edwards and Carl Anthony Towns not having good offensive nights.
Yeah.
And what that speaks to is, you know, I mean, there are so many fascinating strategies playing out in these playoff series, and the Suns decided that they were going to, you know, hedge toward Edwards, which kept him from getting in the lane, and they decided they were going to front Towns in the post so he wouldn't get the ball and have easy plays to make, either scoring or passing. Well, what that did was open up all these lanes for Jaden McDaniels, and he's good enough to take advantage of it. He just went right to the rim. He had open shots. They basically dared McDaniels to beat him, and McDaniels beat him.
Yeah, that was terrific to see. It feels like sometimes Jaden believes that he's like the fourth option, and he kind of plays like that. He doesn't be aggressive offensively at all. He is the fourth option. But last night he acted like the number one, and boy, they really needed him.
I would say that he often acts like the fifth option because he is the fifth option.
Yeah.
You know, they want to get Gobert post touches. They want Towns to get his shots, especially his threes. They want, obviously, they want Edwards to be their best player. They want Conley to pick his spots. And they want McDaniels to cut, create openings by cutting, play without, and find ways to score without having plays run for him. But he didn't need plays run for him yesterday. There were just lanes, and he took full advantage.
Yeah, no doubt. How do you feel the officiating has gone? You know, I heard a lot about the NBA maybe told officials we want fewer free throws, a shot down the stretch, let them play more. We know that happens in the playoffs. This seems like there's controversy every year in the postseason about fouls either being called or not being called. Has it been demonstrably different to you in any way?
I feel like in general, they've tried to let them play. Mm-hmm. They've tried not to call the normal, you know, touch fouls. Now, the problem is it's almost impossible to be consistent, right?
Yeah.
You can go down that road 80% of the time. You're still going to call some calls that you always call. I really commiserate with the job they have.
Yeah.
I think, in general, they have let the players decide the game, and I think, in general, they've done a good job. Doesn't mean they don't miss calls. Of course they miss calls. But I don't think they've missed calls in a pattern that has affected which team wins.
In that vein, there was some testiness last night. They are letting them be more physical. That's going to create temperatures will rise a little bit on the floor. Guys are getting away with some hacks across the arm and more physical type of play. We saw temperatures rise a little bit last night.
Well, I really think it comes down to Devin Booker is a trash talker and a great player, and Jay McDaniels is Timberwolves' most intense player and cannot stand being scored upon. And so Booker, you know, had some moments last night, and he made some really tough shots, and he's yapping all the way down the court. McDaniels hates that.
Yeah.
McDaniels was going to respond to it, and, you know, he probably shouldn't have gotten the technical foul, but, man, he played great after that. So
yeah,
Maybe that's what he needs to really get in the flow, because he was like, I'm going to show you, and he outplayed Booker the rest of the way.
Do you think Booker was trying to bait him? I mean, McDaniels has been ejected before because he loses his temper a little bit.
Yes. I mean, Booker trash talks everybody, but I do think other teams say, you know, especially in a long series, say, okay, which of these guys might give us a tech? Which of these guys might get himself thrown out of a game or do something stupid? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's Jaden McDaniels, frankly.
Yeah. I have to admit that for a little while, Anthony Edwards is kind of annoying me at end-of-game situations, not making the right decisions. Boy, that's changed. So he gets shut down kind of offensively, 15 points, 3 out of 12 from the floor. But he impacted the game elsewhere. 8 assists, didn't turn the ball over, hit the boards, played great defense. That's what shows that he's really a team player.
Yeah, he's I don't know if he's a mature human being. He's still working on that, but he's a mature basketball player. He's coachable. He will make the right play. He's still young, so he's going to make some mistakes every once in a while. So do veteran players. But the attitude is there. He wants to make the right play. He wants to win. Of course, he also wants to show up big in big situations. But honestly, the way the game went yesterday, they're winning with defense. They're winning with Conley hitting open shots. I mean, basically, the Suns didn't really cover Conley and McDaniels, and they went off. And the other guys just said, okay, that's fine, we'll take that win.
Yeah. Well, Conley was 2-for-13 in game one. Yep. So, you know, and that's the great thing. It's pick your poison right now for the Timberwolves. You want to shut down Ant as best you can, and Towns' other guys step up, despite the fact the bench didn't have as good a night.
No, Naz Reid had an off night, and Nikhil Alexander-Walker had another very good night. Mm-hmm. Not as good as game one, but that was otherworldly.
Right.
But, you know, there are different ways to look at depth. One way to look at depth is you got about 8 different guys who can beat the other team on a given night, and they're not all going to have good games the same night, but you have 4 guys have good games, and last night it was Conley, Jaden, Nikhil, and, you know, Gobert. Gobert was very efficient, and that was enough.
Gobert's hitting free throws. Boy, that's a good sign. He struggled quite a bit, but about the last 2 weeks of the regular season, he kind of found something.
Yeah, and listen, he is an obsessive worker. When he isn't hitting free throws, he takes a million free throws. And so for him to step up and confidently hit those, that's a big boost. It's a big boost for his team. It's a big boost for him. But it also means the other team can't just hack him, you know? Yeah. And that's a great thing to take out of their arsenal.
Yeah. You really emphasized, and Alan Horton did with me on yesterday on the podcast as well, that game two is just as big as game one. For the Timberwolves. You don't want the visitor to come in and get their split. That's their goal. So for the Wolves to stay focused and make sure that they got both games at home, that again shows the real sign of maturity.
It does. It now sets them up. They're right where they want to be.
Yep.
I also think they've established they're the better team, that the Suns are going to have to react to them, which is another bonus. The Suns are just not as deep. And here's the other thing. Grayson Allen going out with his ankle injury again. I mean, the Suns were not a deep team with Grayson Allen. Now they're a very shallow team. Yeah. And I think over the course of a long series, that should play in the Wolves. You know, so we're seeing the Wolves' depth went out. We're seeing their size went out. We're seeing their versatility went out. I mean, in a lot of ways, they didn't have a very good offensive game last night as a team.
Right.
Their defense is so good. And it will get forgotten because they didn't score enough points to blow open the game at that point. But if you go back and watch the first 8, 9, 10 minutes of the game against the Suns team that knew how they were going to defend them, and has great offensive talent and was desperate to win, and they couldn't get shots off.
Yeah.
The first 8, 9, 10 minutes of that game, I'm going to go back and watch it myself, was a defensive masterpiece.
McDaniels was a glove on Booker. That's why he was yapping so much. He had a hard time getting free from him.
Yes, and McDaniels is the thing, the Wolves have the defensive player of the year in Gobert. They have McDaniels, who's one of the best wing defenders in the NBA. They have Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who's almost as good as McDaniels as a wing defender. They're without Kyle Anderson, who's a good defensive player. And Anthony Edwards can lock down anybody from a point guard through a four. Karl-Anthony Towns is a better defensive player than he used to be, and his size presents other teams some problems. And then you have Monty Morris. Terrible game, by the way, yesterday. He had a terrible game, but he's been a very good defender since he got here. You have Conley, who can defend with his intelligence. That's a lot of people you can run out there to bother other teams' stars.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, quickly on the Twins, Pablo Lopez comes out after 4, and Rocco said his stuff wasn't up or something. I thought he was indicating that his velocity was down a little bit on some of his stuff, but he said we don't think anything's wrong with him, but we're going to check. Sometimes that's the first thing that goes as an indicator is the velocity coming down.
Yes, that is a concern. Rocco said both things, that he took him out because he didn't like the spin, and he also didn't think it was anything serious, but they will check him out. Scary. Mm-hmm. I will say the Twins were on their way to the worst loss in Major League Baseball history. Mm-hmm. Home game against the pathetic White Sox with your ace on the mound, not scoring it at all, and the fact that they were able to come back and save that one, I don't know. It's usually wrong to say that one game turns any season around, but that felt like a big win for this team.
Yeah, no doubt. And they should start getting some guys healthy. Isn't Duran pitching at St. Paul right now? He's about ready, isn't he?
Duran should be back any day. Topa should be back fairly soon. They're saying optimistic things about Royce Lewis. I don't know what that means yet in terms of timetable. Correa shouldn't be, he's probably a week or two or something like that away. So they can just, they're 4 games under 500 with 140 games left.
Yep.
If they get to 500 by midseason and get healthy, I think they'll be in the playoffs. But, you know, those things have to happen.
Jim, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Live at 5 Sports at Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort.